This is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So, apologies for being away for a couple of weeks.
It's been ages.
I've forgotten how to do this.
I mean, not only has it been a while since the last podcast has come out, but because last time we did a sneaky thing and recorded two in one go, it's been ages since we recorded one, Lewis. So, it's been too long. Too long since I've seen your face.
I know. It's so good to be back in your arms.
Our heads a little bit too close together as we lean in towards a tiny microphone. It's great fun, but it's good to be back.
It's good to be back.
And I'm sure all of you out there have missed us.
Maybe the elderly who put the podcast on to accompany them late at night in their old people's homes.
I imagine perhaps battery chicken farmers use the podcast to drown out the cries of battery chicken hens.
Anyway, moving on. So this week we're doing Leon, which is one of my recommendations.
Yeah, a film I'd never seen before.
Yeah, very good film.
Yeah, and it's we watched it in our grand film marathon. Any of you who follow us on Twitter, I did mention that we were having a massive film marathon to catch up.
Yeah.
We watched a total of three films.
Yeah, four if you count Batman Year One.
Oh, that's true, yeah, four. Two of which we liked, one of which we definitely didn't like, and one which was Batman Year One, which doesn't really count as a real film. I don't feel. So it was barely an hour long. Yeah, and Leon was the first one we watched, so we were like awake, ready, popcorn.
Popcorn at 3 in the afternoon.
3 in the afternoon.
Felt wrong, but right.
But right, definitely right. And yeah, as you say, I enjoyed it. Now, this is something you've watched, you'd seen before, you'd recommended it. What in particular? Why did you recommend
it? I remember it really stood out when I first watched it. I think
when did you first see it?
I saw it when it first came out, I think. When it was on DVD, so not in the cinema, but as soon as it came out on DVD, I remember remember watching it. And I think it was a part of a spate of kind of really violent films in the 90s. We had like all those Tarantino films, Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. And Heat as well, I think, came out.
It has a real 90s sensibility, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I'm not quite sure what I mean by that, but it does.
Lots of explosions.
Yeah, and I don't know, there's something about, I don't know if it's just because of the fashion, but the way it's shot, the colour, the palette of the film, it just feels 90s. There's a sharpness to it. I don't know, that just smacks to me of the 90s. Not only that, Bjork is on the soundtrack.
Yes.
You can't get much more 90s than that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a very cool looking film. It's definitely a style in spades.
Shall we do the pitch and plot?
Yeah. Well,
so you do the pitch, as it's your film.
Well, I guess the pitch is spooky assassin guy befriends tiny girl.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, with slightly awkward overtones.
Yeah,
which I'm sure we'll come to as we go through the as we talk more about it. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's about a assassin who a cleaner, that's what he refers to himself as a professional assassin who, you know, does various cleaning jobs for a mob boss, and he lives next door to a young girl who loses her family, and he sort of takes her in. I suppose it's a moment of weakness on his part. He kind of stops. He seems to, you know, you see him from most of the film, well, the beginning of the film, sorry, holding himself back from others, separating himself from others, and he allows this young girl into his life, and she mixes it up completely. Turns it upside down.
Makes it sound kind of endearing then, but it's kind of not.
it's an odd film in some ways. It's a film I don't feel that perhaps they could make now.
Certainly, I think there's these kind of this unhealthy relationship between this, well, 30-something man and a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah,
it's not, you know, it's not comfortable at some points. It's interesting. We actually watched the kind of director's cut. Well, not the director's cut. The long version, I think they call
it. Yeah, well, I think it actually was a director's cut. I think that was the original version of the film. And that's pretty much become now the standard version. It was but the original theatrical release didn't have so many paedophilic awkward moments in it.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't actually realise we were watching the extended version, and I was sitting there thinking, God, I don't remember this. It must have been such a long time since I last saw it. But actually, I was seeing it for the first time. The scenes where, you know, she says, I want to be your lover. You know,
out of context, that sounds a lot worse than it actually is. I mean, it is still uncomfortable to watch, but
she means it though.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's not in that kind of sense. It's not kind of out of context.
No, I suppose not.
you know, he obviously rebuffs her, but you know, it's still uncomfortable. She's obviously, she's got this infatuation with this older man who is kind of a, becomes kind of a mixture between a father figure and a lover. It's kind of very, very weird.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel the longer version is better though than the first?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it explains a bit more. It explains a bit more why Leon's there in the first place.
Right. Okay.
And also, it kind of goes into much more detail about the relationship between them. And there's a bit where they share a bed, which again is very uncomfortable. But kind of it's weird. It's kind of it's weird and it's kind of endearing at the same time. It's quite.
Well, I think that comes down to the performances, and you know, perhaps we'll talk a little bit about performances. But the titular. I love using that word. I think I've used it about.
Do you even know what it means? Do you even know what it means?
No. I think I used it lots in Dracula. I kept referring to the titular Dracula. Anyway, so Leon.
That's definitely not right.
Leon is played by Jean Reno.
Jean
Reno, a French actor.
Although I think he's Spanish parents.
Whatever. He played a Frenchman.
Just want to throw a spanner in the works.
Played a Frenchman in Godzilla. That's enough for me. The young girl, of course, played by very young Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I think she was 13 when she made
it. Yeah, she's a fresh, I think maybe a first breakthrough role anyway.
Yeah, definitely her first movie.
I mean, she may have done one movie before this, but not a particularly big one.
I think this is the first one.
I think you are wrong. All right, okay, I'll take that. But certainly this, you know, a great, fantastic performance from her. Mm. We have Gary Oldman playing the villain of the piece.
Gary Oldman.
Gary, why did you
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Which is a crazy performance.
Yeah, it's one of those ones you either love it or you hate it, I think.
Yeah.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant. He just completely just goes all out for this kind of psychotic character.
Yes, he plays a corrupt policeman.
A bank cop.
Yeah, who's responsible for the deaths of Natalie Portman's character and Matilda, her family. So, to be honest, he's not in the film a huge amount, is he? He's kind of there at the beginning.
Not enough.
He crops up at the end, but he's not certainly the main villain.
Yeah,
but
he's almost the subplot, really.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, quite, yeah. And those are the three core performances. In fact, most of the film is just Leon and Matilda.
Yeah.
So I suppose, kind of almost like a character piece. Mm. And just concentrating on those two characters and their relationship.
Yeah, but fantastic performances. I mean, Natalie Portman in particular is just amazing in this film. I think it's definitely her best performance.
Her very first performance.
Yeah,
well,
she peaked too early. That's the trouble.
Certainly better than her Star Wars performances.
Oh my god!
But
she really is awful in those Star Wars films.
I think everyone is awful in those Star Wars films.
No one came out of that.
No, can you name one person who was really good in the Star Wars?
There's
prequels?
No Alec Guinness. You know, that's the
even Samuel Jackson appears kind of bland and neutered in the Star Wars prequels. What chance did any of the others have? But yeah, Natalie Portman is fantastic in it. Really? But then Jean Reno is really, really good as well. And I think his performance is in a way even more impressive in the sense that you never, and even though the scenes where Matilda is coming on to, for want of a better phrase, coming on to Leon, you never really feel that Matilda is in danger.
No, it's interesting.
You never feel like that she is about to be taken advantage of. You're totally, despite the fact that he's this brutal killer, you totally trust him. And you
Although
see
he did,
a decent man.
He did think about killing her at one point when she was asleep.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So,
yeah.
You know, there is definitely.
But that's early on in the relationship, you know. And they're still working, still working each other out. I've forgotten about that. Yeah, that's very true right at the very beginning. But I suppose after that, I guess what I'm talking about is that you never feel that he's going to have sex with her.
Right, okay. Yeah. He might kill her, but he won't have sex with her.
Yeah, and yeah, that's even though, right, yeah, even though those, as we talk about, those scenes are slightly uncomfortable to watch, they're more uncomfortable because Natalie Portman or Matilda is the one kind of doing the chasing. Mm. And he's very, and he doesn't talk down to her, he doesn't dismiss her in a kind of, well, I'm an adult, you're a child. He almost talks to her like an equal, but explains why that's not going to happen, why that's not possible.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, he's kind of quite an understated performance, but there's such an enormous gravitas to his personality. It's just, it's really, really impressive.
I mean, a lot of the, he doesn't say much, really. No. A lot of it comes down to the way he looks, the way he kind of walks, the way he just stands in a room, the way he holds himself through a lot of the film. It's a great performance, really, really fantastic.
Speaking of kind of style, I think the actual film itself is very reminiscent of Taxi Driver. You can tell that they draw a lot of influences from that. So I think you haven't seen Taxi Driver.
No, it's on our list. It's on our list to do.
Definitely have to do that. It'd be interesting to see. And that also features an underage actress. So
that's right. I remember we're talking because we did think about watching Taxi Driver as our second film, but then you said that. I was like, I suppose we could have an underage paedophilic double bill. Decided against that.
Yeah. I think I need to rinse my brain out.
Man, what are the tags going to be like for this podcast?
Oh dear. Moving on.
I think we'll come back to Gary Oldman's performance in a bit, but perhaps we should just do the trivia
quiz. Let's do the trivia quiz.
Get the old trivia quiz done and dusted so we can move on and talk about the film.
Trivia quiz!
Does anyone like the trivia quiz except us? I do sometimes wonder.
Probably not, but we're going to press on regardless.
In the film, Leon watches a film, and he says, "Oh, this is a good film."
Yeah.
And it's a musical, and who is in the musical?
Who is in it?
Yes, there's a person, an actor.
Okay.
Roller skates, skating away down a New York street.
Oh, this is a complete guess, but Gene Kelly.
All right. History question for you. I must say, I did struggle with these questions a little bit. I found it quite difficult to find questions to ask around this.
Yeah.
Bit of a history question. We haven't mentioned him yet. A character called Tony, who's kind of the mob
Donnie.
Boss.
Donnie! Hey!
The mob boss is kind of like Leon's handler, I guess. Kind of pays him off, to give him jobs.
Handler sounds kind of wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But anyway, he's played by Danny Aiello. It's quite hard to pronounce. You know, I'm sure regular listeners know how difficult I find to pronounce any names.
Aiello, I think it is.
Aiello.
Danny
Aiello. Now, he, in a film, played the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald. What was the name of that man?
Oh, Jack Ruby.
Okay. And finally, I'm sure, now I suspect you might have this question as well. Jean Reno plays a contract killer, a very similar character, in what other Luc Besson, the director, film?
Oh, I know this. I was going to ask you this.
I thought you might.
La Femme Nikita. He played Victor, I think.
Okay, and what was the name of that in English?
What, Victor?
What was the the film was also had an English name as well.
What was it in English? The Assassin.
Okay, yeah. The Assassin. Yeah. Right. Do you want to ask me your questions? Okay. Please, Lewis.
All right, hold on. Okay, so... what is the connection between Luc Besson and one of your favourite actors, Jason Statham, star of Crank?
Oh, Luc Besson wrote The Transporter, which stars the great Jason Statham.
Good one.
You and your whole crew are dead! Oh my God.
We're going to have to do Crank.
We're definitely doing Crank. We are definitely doing Crank. There is nothing quite like Crank.
Okay. Which video game did Jean Reno star in?
Jean Reno star in?
His actual digital likeness appeared in this game along with his actual voice.
Oh, okay. Is it Far Cry?
Okay. And last one. What famous Frenchman was Jean Reno's best man at his wedding?
What famous Frenchman? Oh, what? that's quite a general term. Famous Frenchman.
Famous Frenchman.
Well,
you definitely have heard of him.
I will go with the very first thing that comes to mind, which is Gérard Depardieu, surely the famous Frenchman. That and Napoleon. So one of the two. There's only two famous Frenchmen.
Just two. Just those two. Right.
Okay, so you... Full house, Lewis.
Woohoo!
Full house, well done. It was La Femme Nikita. It was the film that Jean Reno plays a character. Basically, I think he's called the cleaner in that film, isn't he? It's more or less the same character.
Victor the cleaner, yeah.
The musical that Leon watches in the film does star Gene Kelly. And the man that Danny Elior played, who was the man who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, was Jack Ruby, I think, nice. in the film, Jack Ruby.
Connection between Luc Besson and Jason Statham. Yes, Luc Besson wrote The Transporter.
I've not seen that.
You've not seen The Transporter?
No.
If you like Crank, you'll definitely like The Transporter.
I don't know. You know why I don't really want to extrapolate from Crank. Yeah, I mean, that's a strange road to start travelling down. Films that are a little bit like Crank.
If you like Crank, you'll like this.
Yeah, I think Crank is unique. Crank is one of a kind.
Okay, what else did I ask? What video game did Jean Reno appear in Onimusha 3 on the PlayStation 2?
Well, I don't even heard of that.
You've not even heard of Onimusha 3?
What kind of question is that? What happens in
everyone
that?
Everyone knew.
What is it?
Onimusha 3. Onimusha was one of the earliest games for the PlayStation 2. Don't you remember this?
No. What? That's an unfair question. What? You might as well have said, what colour am I thinking of? That's a very unfair question. Anyway, go on.
Oh, dear. Okay, and who was... What famous Frenchman was Jean Reno's best man? Nicolas Sarkozy.
Oh, right. You should have said politician. Again, that was a very general question.
You might have said politician. There's only one you would have said.
Well, there's a
name
couple.
Another French... Jean-Luc Le Pen.
Well, Mitterrand. What's his name? The previous president. His name now escapes me.
Do you want to listen to hear my bonus one?
Yeah, go on then.
What's the link between Leon and Rushmore, our previous film?
I don't know.
Natalie Portman was in the Darjeeling Limited, which is directed by...
Alright, again, that's not a direct link.
It's not a direct link. I didn't say it was a direct link. I said it was a link.
Okay, I think listeners at home would agree. Those were very shaky, shoddy questions. I had to go for easy ones simply because I realised if I went... Started doing... Okay, there's a link of about four different films in the middle, but what links?
I didn't ask that last one, though. That was a bonus.
Yeah, famous Frenchman. God, come on. And I just think everyone would agree, home. You say famous Frenchman, everyone thinks of Gérard Depardieu. So
I'm not sure.
I think they do. Gérard Depardieu. I think he's going to be trending on Twitter after this goes out. # Gérard Depardieu. Anyway, so that was a shout. You win, but I think you cheated in that one. It's a very sour All trivia right. quiz for our comeback after our break.
All right, I'll make them easier next time.
Right, anyway.
Because Ian thinks they're too hard. I thought they were quite easy.
Yeah. Name a man I'm thinking of. Right, so going back to the performances, I really want to talk about Gary Oldman.
Who doesn't?
It's now, you touched on it. It is a performance of extremes. Now, I mean, the kind of corrupt policeman, you know who he really reminded me of? And this is a sort of reference, and that to another film with Gary Oldman's, and he really reminded me of the Joker.
Yeah,
it did show me that Gary Oldman could have made, if he, you know, he's an excellent Gordon, but he could have been a fantastic Joker as
definitely.
Well.
I always was a little bit disappointed with Gary Oldman in the Batman films, just because I thought exactly that same kind of thing. I'm like, he's just playing it so straight, and I'm like, I know you can do mad. Just do some mad. I'm really hoping that the next one has a plot where Gordon goes mad.
Yeah, because it is a really over the top. Performance.
Yeah.
I mean, the character is supposed to be on drugs a lot of the time. Yes,
I don't know what drugs though.
No, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like generic film drugs.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe we're just too innocent, Lewis, and we just don't get.
Yeah.
We've not tried a big giant yellow horse pill.
Yeah,
that's what it looks
like. Well, if it does that to you, I'm not sure I'm going to try it. There's a great bit though. One of my favourite standout bits with Gary Oldman is the bit where he corners Natalie Portman in the men's room.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a terrifying scene. It's basically the kind of innocent kind of child in the monster's den. It really does feel like...
What's the line where he says, you didn't care about living, but now you tell me that you want to live? And she says, I do. And he goes, that's because I like to know when I do this, when I kill someone, that they wanted to live. Something like that. Anyway,
really creepy.
But he throws in a bit of improvisation. The right at the very beginning of the film, Matilda's dad, Gary Oldman, turns up and kind of sort of half sort of threat. Well, the kind of his henchman does the threatening, and then Gary Oldman just walks over and sniffs him.
Oh right.
And apparently that was completely improvised by Oldman. and the guy playing Matilda's dad was not expecting it at all, which is why he looks so genuinely uncomfortable as Gary really leans in and sniffs his neck and his face. There's another scene later on as well, the Beethoven scene.
Oh, right.
Where
yeah,
Gary,
yeah.
Where the corrupt cops go back to kill Matilda's dad. That entire sequence, totally improvised as well.
Really?
Yeah, which wow. make that in particular is very impressive.
Yeah.
The sniffing is quite a small thing, yeah. But the Beethoven is a huge, long bit of dialogue where he talks about, do you like Beethoven? Yeah, and as he just sort of goes around sort of scaring, basically intimidating Matilda's dad before he kills him. But yeah, that's... which you look at and go, wow, that's fantastic. But there's other bits where he's kind of boogly-eyed and shouting and hollering and yeah.
It's an interesting performance.
Yeah,
I think he's brilliant. I can see how you watch it and you think, oh, he's just ridiculous, over the top nonsense. But yeah, I bought into it, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I wanted to speak about Natalie Portman's performance. The bit in particular that really stands out for me. I mean, actually, when I recommended this film to you, it was the scene that completely stood out, was the bit where just after her family's been killed, she's gone out to get some milk. She comes back, she kind of notices the door's open, there's someone at the door, she glances in, she sees, I think, her sister kind of in a pool of blood on the floor. And she kind of carries on past the door and trying to hold it together and then starts knocking at Leon's door and kind of like says... you know, please let me in under her breath, because she knows that if he doesn't let her in, she's going to be found
she's
out.
In tears, she asks it, just absolutely terrified, yeah.
Absolutely terrified. And that bit is just the standout scene of the whole film for me. It's so powerful, that kind of that tension, you know. Is he going to let her in? Is he going to let her in, you know? Because, you know, as soon as he opens that door, his entire life's going to change and it won't ever go back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fantastic performance. I suppose the other scene that, and we might as well talk about the standout scenes, and one of the scenes actually, someone described, our friend Jason, who kind of, I mean, I know you, this was your film, but he'd also recommended that I watch it. I remember years ago, actually, him talking about it, and the bit where she tells him that he loves her.
Right.
Sorry, she loves him.
Yes, yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, you're 12 years old, you know, you don't know what love is. She's like, oh, I think I do. He's like, oh, it's like, I feel like, it, you know, I feel it in my stomach, and it feels like there's something there now that there wasn't.
Mm.
He's like, oh, you know, you in your stomach. And then he leaves the room, and he just kind of slumps against the wall, because he realised that she is in love.
Yeah.
That he knows the truth, that that's exactly, she is in love, and it just overwhelms him.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, it's an interesting scene, though. I mean, I don't think, you know, it didn't really stand out for me as much as the others, but... yeah, it does kind of show you that there's an interesting kind of dynamic to that relationship. It's just
that she, in so many ways like a child, but in other ways, very much, yeah. Like, I suppose the experiences she's going through is like an adult.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line she says something like, you know, I've done all my growing up. I'm just getting older.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of a girl who's seen too much at a young age. You know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And the kind of clash between it. Because, you know, there's some bits where she seems so painfully young, and others where she seems very old.
Yeah. Playing hide and seek in the cupboards, you know, she could be like a tiny child, but then she comes out with lines like that.
The whole sequence where they play dress up and she sort of acts as different characters and he has to guess who they are, and of course he just doesn't know who any of them are. And it's just, it's very good. Yeah. And then, the other sort of the kind of almost like montage scene where you see them just at work, because he's sort of training her to become an assassin.
Yeah.
And you see them just doing that trick with the door and the chewing gum and knocking the door and all that stuff.
I don't remember. I don't think that was in the original.
Really?
No.
I won't be surprised if that get cuts out, because
I don't recall, or it definitely wasn't as long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it's slightly morally ambiguous, as you are training a 12-year-old girl how to be a killer.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they felt.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I think they definitely cut out some of the more controversial scenes for the cinema release.
Mm. Oh, anyway, back to Luc Besson. So he not only directed it, he wrote the film as well. Wrote it in super quick time.
Oh, right.
Apparently it only took him 30 days to write.
That's pretty quick.
And then it was 90 days to film.
Wow.
Yeah, incredible.
That is quick.
Yeah, and now it's considered one of the best films of the 90s.
How far are you along on your screenplay?
How far are you?
Oh dear God!
Yeah, mine's all about a famous Frenchman.
Exactly. Mine is a video game.
I'm working my way through every single one of them. Yeah, and he certainly has an ear for dialogue, I'd say. You wouldn't really think it's the same guy who wrote. I've not seen Transporter, but I don't know. I can't imagine much crossover between the two, but maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like perhaps the dialogue is good, but I think it's definitely the characters that stand out.
Yeah, I think it's just the performances, ultimately. It's
really memorable.
And I suppose you've got to ask, when we're talking about direction, I suppose Gary Oldman's performance, the bits where it goes a little bit over the top, it's down to the director to really rein those kind of performances in, isn't it?
Did he rein them in, though? I think he encouraged them.
Well, that's what I mean. He didn't. He encouraged them, so...
Exactly.
But, I mean, still, there's some fantastic shots. Yeah. Bits like them coming over the kind of horizon, walking down the new street.
The plant. The plant is the unsung star of
the film. Yeah, that's true.
There's this plant that they carry, that Leon's plant that is
Is it a banana leaf plant, is it?
I looked this up. Someone reckons it's a Japanese peace lily. I don't think it's a Japanese peace lily.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
You ever had a plant, Lewis?
I've had a Japanese peace lily. Oh, okay. It looked out like that.
I had a spider plant for a while.
Did you?
Yeah.
What happened to it?
I don't know. I guess it died or I lost it. I can't remember. I had another plant I used to call Nigel. I know that definitely died.
Good.
Some cracking scenes. Mm. Obviously, Luke, as I said, Luc Besson wrote it. It may have kind of been slightly autobiographical.
What?
Yeah, Luc Besson was married to a girl he met when she was 11 and he was in his 20s. Mm. And then they fell in love when she was 15 and he was 32.
Right, I didn't know about this.
A woman called Mavine Le Besco.
Oh, right, okay.
And I think I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong, Mavine. But she actually appears in the film. She plays the prostitute right at the very beginning of the film. You know, the kind of woman who's in bed.
Oh, right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and she kind of sees it, goes, I'll be off then. Yeah, and yeah. Then walks out, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she was pretty.
Well, yeah.
He's done all right there.
I'm not sure what she would have looked like at 11 years old, though. But
no, that is a little bit weird.
Kind of creepy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she had a child.
I wish
by
I didn't know that now. I really wish you hadn't told me that.
Really? I'm sorry. Okay, so I suppose, kind of mentioned it before, the weakest bits of the film?
Well, I think the weakest bit for me was probably the lack of exposition about the kind of cop subplot, which was ostensibly the main plot, I guess, the guys who kind of kill their father.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that really necessary, though? As you say, it's very much a B plot. It's really, almost like a MacGuffin, isn't it? Just to keep her with him and a reason for her to be there, because she wants to learn how to be an assassin.
Yeah.
To get revenge.
I just felt that it wasn't fleshed out properly. You know, why were these guys so horrible, and how were they allowed to get away with it? It's just kind of, I don't know, it just felt a bit unresolved. But like you say, it is a bit of a kind of B-plot. It's not really integral to the actual story. But I just felt it was like the bit toward the end where there's kind of the whole revenge stuff. It's like it just felt a little bit rushed.
Hmm. Yeah. I suppose so. What's that? I don't know. I'm trying to think of myself. I think probably a scene I didn't particularly care for was... Well, no... That's not true. I was about to say the restaurant scene, which I think was actually cut from the theatrical release, where...
Oh, well, she's laughing in the restaurant and they're drinking wine.
Yeah, she drinks... There's some nice moments in that, though, where she kind of downs the glass of champagne and things like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice scene, I think. I mean, the only thing about that is it's slightly implausible that this young girl would get away with... drinking in a kind of fancy restaurant, especially in a country as uptight about alcohol as America.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, that's the mark that's been directed by a Frenchman.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, a drunk child. It's normal in my country.
Yeah. What bit of France is he from there?
Spain.
So I guess you certainly would recommend the film.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a recommendation of yours.
I actually thought, you know, it was better than I originally saw it. And in fact, I mean, that helped that it was the kind of director's cut. Mm. But yeah, I'd highly recommend it. It's not comfortable viewing in places.
No, I agree. But I think overall, it's a Yeah, it is. I definitely would recommend it. Mm. I think also it is very, as I said earlier, a real 90s film.
Yeah, yeah.
Really definitely. Kind of feels very much of that decade, product of its time. Yeah, good. Good. So.
What's this?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. ukulele challenge, everyone. Ukulele Woo! Challenge.
Yeah.
It's customary when we do the ukulele challenge for us to suddenly realise that we haven't talked about the music of the film. Not really much to talk about, is there?
No, there's hardly. It finishes with Sting, which is a little bit disappointing, if I'm honest.
That's applicable to any situation where Sting is the last thing used. Finishes with Sting.
It does have Bjork in it, though, which is very.
Yeah, cool. Again, very 90s. But quite fitting, in a way. The song I'm going to do now is Like a Virgin.
Like a Virgin.
My Madonna. I mentioned it earlier. There's
highly inappropriate.
A little sequence where she dresses up in various different characters. One of the characters is Madonna. She jumps around and sings Like a Virgin, and he just looks completely bewildered.
And a little scared.
Yeah, and a little scared. So it might be a little bit tricky to do Like a Virgin, Lewis, on the ukulele. A very kind of synthy electro pop sort of on the ukulele.
Oh, God.
It's going to be tricky. Let's just
get it over with.
Are you going to join in, Lewis?
If I must.
Yeah, you do. Okay, so now. Oh dear. This is not going to sound anything like it, but we'll, our voices will carry the song, I feel.
I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. Didn't know how lost I was until I found you. I was beat, incomplete. I've been had. I was sad and blue. And you made me feel.
Yeah, you made me feel.
Was shiny and new.
Oh, hang on.
Like a virgin.
Touch for the first time.
Like a virgin.
When your heart beats next to mine.
I think that was their worst song ever. It's a good song.
It's a good song.
She's
Let's go to karaoke.
I think it would be better. Sorry, that was that. I think the tabs I've got there, the chords I've got there, are completely wrong because that sounds nothing like it.
Do you think, or do you think it's you?
No, I definitely think it's the chords. They're wrong.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so if you've got any films you want us to watch, please write into 101films@gmail.com.
Oh, sorry, I'm still reeling from how bad that was. We'll cut that right down. You probably only had a 30-second snippet of that there. Whew,
and
right.
Don't forget to check the blog at 101films.wordpress.com.
You can follow us on Twitter. In fact, did you mention all that?
At 101 films on Twitter.
Yeah, good. Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was just.
You're just in shock.
Yeah, I was. All the colours drained from my face. I'm shaking. Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. Send us an email. Good.
All right.
Yep.
See you next week.
Yeah. See you next week. Bye bye. So how about the direction of the film? Good?
You can't throw that at me without preparing the ground.
So Luc Besson, the director, what do you want me to say? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's good direction? Yes or no? Yeah, we'll just have yes or no answers from now on.
Yeah, it was
falling
good.
Apart. We've had 2 weeks off and we've forgotten how to do this.
We'll cut this bit out.